let's get to it. Romans chapter 14. And praise God for this precious truth here tonight, brothers and sisters. And I'd like to also just state as we begin, all things for us are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And it's the truth. That means that not necessarily everything would be profitable for us, brothers and sisters. And we're coming into more of the depths of the love of God and the depths of truly the mature saints, the Philadelphia love. And boy, I'll tell you, that is the love that loves the body just as the head and the head is the body because it's Christ. Hallelujah. And we thank him for these things. But this is the encouragement that we have here. So let's go ahead and read the first 13 verses of Romans chapter 14. It says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation." So again, don't receive them and kind of making them feel bad or, you know, we'll keep you out here or something of that nature and in judgment. That's what that's saying there. "For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eat despise him that eats not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eats. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And one man esteems one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose, and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Well, that's another love chapter, huh? Praise God. And as we begin this, I do want to emphasize that this weak in faith is not necessarily how much one sees in the truth, but rather what their faith gives them liberty to do. And this is where the emphasis is on that. See, the big picture here is, brothers and sisters, is not to let differences over disputable matters ruin our fellowship in the gospel of Christ. Lots of things here that I know are very applicable to us at this time. But what was going on here with these Christians at Rome is they were passing judgment upon one another because what somebody was eating or what they weren't eating or what they were observing or what they weren't observing. And boy, if that isn't a good example of how the little foxes can spoil the whole vine. But as we begin this as well too, I want to emphasize that this is not pertaining though to doctrine. This does not pertain to doctrine because there is nothing to dispute, brothers and sisters, when it comes to the Word of God. There isn't. The Word, the truth, rightfully divided, is the truth. Praise be to God. This, what we are going to examine here, what the Lord is visiting with us in, is about love. It's about liberties in our life. Praying for a saint, and not one Christian trying to push their liberty, or their lack thereof of a liberty, over or upon another brother or sister in the Lord. And see, what a bad battle to pick. It just is. It's just something where a lot of times, let's just be honest, and what this is magnifying, is that we're really looking at the flesh. We're not looking at Christ in that brother or sister. Not praying for them really is what it is. And see, when we pick this kind of battle, we defeat. We're defeated in truly any real fellowship in truth and love. But I do want to emphasize again that sin is sin. Sin is sin. Amen. Sin is sin. But when we try to go about telling one another how we should live our lives, we're making a big mistake. And I do want to let this be known, and I believe the Lord is emphasizing here. It's the truth. We're changed from the inside out. And my liberties are going to be different from yours and yours from mine. And I am not here to tell you. One big thing I know sometimes that people like to talk about is music and things of that nature. Now, there's music, brothers and sisters, that is so filthy and despicable, disgusting. It's evident. That kind of stuff would be like just listening to somebody just curse away and standing there and having a conversation with them. You just walk away from that. You know that that would provoke something in your heart, and it wouldn't be to any type of love. It would lead to things and thoughts that shouldn't be there. But I am not here to tell you that your life should only be about grace and glory songs. I'm hoping that the majority of it is. But if the Lord allows you to enjoy some other types of music or things of that nature, I know there's some people that don't believe you should have any alcohol at all. But, you know, if somebody can enjoy a glass of wine or something of that nature, and as the Lord says, a little wine, do listen to the word of God, and not in excess, you know what? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful for these things that, again, my brother may be able to partake in and give thanks to God, and in my life to give thanks to God. So we need to be very aware of that, that oftentimes when we think that it's going to look just this way, we are absolutely chasing people away from the things of God. It's not that it's just this wide path to destruction and don't go there. That's not what I'm talking about at all. You preach the truth. You preach the word of God. And I thank the Lord that in this meeting, I believe we have ones that truly love one another and understand and rejoice for the body and how God may manifest, again, his love and in these precious liberties of faith in different lives. So we thank him for that. I know that there's things in my life, brothers and sisters, that, you know, people think are just silly. I did say, hey, look, that's fine to do. I know for me that God hasn't allowed me to have the liberty to do it, and I just don't do it. I never feel right doing it. It just doesn't sit right. And it's nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. But at the same time, I want harmony with my fellowship with the Lord. Amen? It's not about just, well, I shouldn't have a problem with this, and I'm just going to force myself in it. Well, I don't have any good time. So that's not something I want to do. So that's how the Lord convicts our heart in these things. And verse 12 really said it all there, brothers and sisters, as it says there, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That's what it's about. It's what's in your heart. David said it. And see, this isn't talking about some future time, brothers and sisters. This is talking about right now. See, David in Psalm 139, and we quote this often, in 23 and 24, he said, search me, O God. Search me, O God. He just finally got to it. You know what? I'm going to quit trying of myself to get things right, or maybe to try to fix this or that, or worrying about, wow, what am I thinking or what I'm not thinking. But you know what, God, you do it. You know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Praise the Lord. And that's where this is leading us tonight. And that is how we know, because it's God, again, who tries our hearts. As we yield to him, he has the reins of our hearts. And we thank him for that. But notice here first in our text that the very first one that is called out is the stronger in faith, the one that, in a sense, has the greater faith for greater liberty in their life. As it says there in verse 1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So don't despise, brothers and sisters, and don't belittle the one that is needy in faith. And I am telling you, I have partaken in that. I know people that do partake in that. And God help us, when we get into that kind of a state of judgment, and really it's condemnation to these things, brothers and sisters, as opposed to receiving someone in the love of God and wanting to be used of the Lord to be an encouragement to them, I'll tell you what, we have got a board so big in our eye, trying to remove a little splinter, we really need to hit our knees. And the Lord help us so much in this, because I believe, and not to make you feel good, just to be thankful, but I'm speaking to bridal saints. We're speaking to ones, praise God tonight, that know the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, the proposal of Christ Jesus to his wife. And I am so thankful to God that we partake in this. But God help us to never get haughty. God help us to condescend to men of low estate, and truly that he gives grace to the humble, and we're never going to grow without grace. And we start to get proud, we start to get haughty in our walk, or thinking that somehow, some way, oh, I've got it made, in a sense, I've got it done. You need to watch me do this. Lord help us. And he does. But it doesn't have to be that hard. But again, that it would be something quickened in our hearts and quick to believe, quick to be tender. Lord, help me to get and to flee that self-righteousness, because that's really what it is. But see here, instead, those that are strong in faith, be strong in love, be strong in grace, receive the weak, and receive them in love. Don't judge them, but in scripture and fellowship, encourage them. Remember, as it tells us here in verse 4, it says that God is able to make them stand even in their weakness. Isn't that wonderful? So why would we try to knock them over? You see what I'm saying? Why would we try to push them down? Now, we know, and I believe we would know these things, in Acts, Peter, it was revealed to him, call nothing unclean, slay and eat. Amen. So we know that we have that liberty. We know that not just that we have that liberty, we have that encouragement in truth from the scriptures, that we are to not call anything unclean. If you go over to Galatians with me, and let's go over to the fourth chapter of Galatians. And no, I'm not going to read verse 1 with you this time, but it's a good one to read. Never forget it. But in verse 9 of Galatians 4, actually, let's just back up to verse 8. It says, howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God. So that's very, very important. These ones, they knew this truth. They knew the liberty that is in Christ Jesus. And not just knew it, they partook of it. Hallelujah. But after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? And what did they do, some of the things? Ye observe days and months and times and years. Goes on, so you can see, again, this was the bondage of these things that they were putting back in their lives, were many of the customs, traditions, and things of that, of the Old Testament, and things that God had told them that, obviously, it was finished in Christ. There was no more in giving remembrance to those things. It was done and it was finished in Christ. So clearly we see here that once we know better, we're not to digress to keeping days or things of that anymore. And why is it so specific there? It's because these ones knew better. They were defiant. There was a self-righteousness blanketing back upon them. And how abominable that is. Whereas what we're speaking of here in our text, brothers and sisters, if you look at that, that are weak in faith. They need encouragement. There's faith there to strengthen. There's strength there to praise the Lord, that they could be encouraged in Scripture, not encouraged to be like you. You see the difference? Encouraged in Scripture, and praise the Lord for that. That's why I am thankful that we have a meeting. I'm thankful that it's called Living Waters, because that's the Word of God. But that's exactly what this meeting is. It's the Word of God. It was never because it was Brother Hill. It's not because it's Brother Jesse or any of the other ones or the history or the legacy or whatever it may be. It's because today, right now, we preach the whole counsel of God. That's it. And any time we start to hang our hats, again, it's kind of like Sunday, our laurels on trophies and somehow my accolades, just like Gideon did, as so beautiful, all that grace, and then bam, he wanted to be recognized for something. Don't fool yourself. We are quick to be prideful, even in victory. It's a subtle thing. This flesh is so weak. Yes, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is very weak. But how we defeat that, brothers and sisters, is we yield to the Spirit. That's the whole thing of that living by faith. Praise God in this precious Romans. As we yield to God, as we yield to the Spirit. Because what's the Spirit going to do? The Spirit ministers truth. That's all the Spirit does. The Spirit, praise God, ministers to us. Hallelujah. Christ in us, that Spirit, hallelujah, of the Lord, to grow and to come forth in the manifestation of the mature Son of God. So see, we are not better. We are not better by fasting or worse by eating. It's all in the sincerity of our heart that the Lord deals with us. Now let's go back and read verses 6 through 8 again of chapter 14. He that regards the day regards it unto the Lord. And he that regards not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that eats not to the Lord, he eateth not, he gives God thanks. For none of us lives unto himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Praise God. And let that be such truth to you. You are bought with a price. You're not your own. You're his. Praise God. Quit fighting it. He's God. Get it. He is. And you can make it as miserable as you want. And I'm so thankful to the Lord as he convicted my heart as a pretty young person that he wasn't going to let me go. He wasn't going to stop chasing me. I could not separate myself not only from his love, not only from his eye, but I couldn't even get out of his hand. I can't get off the mind of him. I'm always on his mind. Pursuing, persistent, all of those P's, powerful. He's there and he's doing it. And as you read the Word of God and yield to the Spirit, you'll begin to love it. But as you'll twist and fuss with it, it's painful. It just is. And those are the sometimes those good hurts that God allows in our lives in the chastening. And praise God, as we endure that chastening, he deals with us as sons. But this 6 through 8 is so wonderful because we are the Lord's. The beauty of it, brothers and sisters, is that we're all unique. We are all precious. We truly are all one of a kind, valuable to him. And as we commit our lives to him, he will and do of his good pleasure in us. That's why I'm so thankful to God. I don't fear this world. I don't. And I don't want us to fear this world. I want us to understand and truly respect that without the power of God in our lives, we'll be consumed with this world. And yes, we cannot stand against the enemy without God. But I'm not afraid of this world's education. I'm not. I'm not afraid to encourage young people to go to colleges and things of that nature. I saw what God did with Joseph in Egypt. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to tempt him and throw myself down where I knew and pitch my tent in Sodom. I don't want to do that. But at the same time, I want the Lord to be magnified in whatever we do, brothers and sisters. And I know that we all have all these different professions, all these different professionals, all of these different ones, and praise be to God. That's the body of Christ. You know, you need a little knuckle on the fourth toe on the right foot. Amen? And then you need a tongue. You need an eye. And, you know, then I needed this hair on the very back of my head to cover that one little spot. And which one's more important to God? None. It's the body, hallelujah, and it's all perfect, and it all is tightly compacted and fit, and we are together in Christ, and I thank God for that, and I love the diversity. Don't you just thank God for that? I thank the Lord. See, that's every kindred, tongue, and nation. That's what's so beautiful, and it is. We are one in Christ, but how the Lord operates in his body, they all do different things. Every part of my body does something different. It just does, and I thank the Lord. But it's all in harmony as it yields to the head, as the head tells it what to do. And we thank God for that, and that's why we pray and give him honor, and how beautiful is the body of Christ. But this is magnificent stuff here, because this is Paul speaking of this. And you think of the example that Brother Paul is to us, brothers and sisters, so full of the Holy Ghost, so full of mature faith in his life, and how the Lord could use him to preach and to testify just about anywhere. You think about this. How many preachers would have really said, you know what, I'll go to Corinth? Now, he kind of wanted to get out of Corinth, but he stayed there as the Lord told him to stay. But God gave him the grace to be around some of them nuts. And they were just fruity as fruity could be and doing all of these different things. But God gave him the love and the patience to preach the word of God. And how he taught all of this precious 14th chapter by the Spirit. It wasn't Paul, but so much to those ones. Remember, they were trying to judge one another so quick. Oh, let's just disfellowship this guy. Sure, that's right. There is. But we're not going to try to magnify the disfellowshipping. Let's go ahead and magnify the prayer and worship to the Lord and praying for the restoration. See, that's the spiritual. That was the real edifying to God, is that that brother would be restored and thanking the Lord for these things. You know, it's almost like people are looking to say, well, let's try to find the things that are wrong. How about meditating upon the things that are right? How about meditating upon the good, the good report, the lovely, the true? You see what I'm saying? That's the word of God. And we can get so critical so fast and start picking things apart, as Brother Hill used to say, like a bunch of turkeys. And he'd see them out there, and they have to clip their beaks off. If you ever seen them around there, and I've seen that. They have to clip them beaks because they'll kill one another. They will peck one another to death. Huh? Well, that's what happens when we look at one another. It just will be that way. And God help us truly to be spiritual ones. But this was Brother Paul. So, see, I think, again, as the Word of God encouraged Paul to say, follow me as I follow Christ, we need to pray for that faith and love in our lives, brothers and sisters, and it'll be amazing how God will use us too. Now, let's go over here to verse 10. And in verse 10, it really starts a precious portion of Scripture here that really needs, well, all of it needs to be rightfully divided, but oftentimes this gets so off the mark. And as we venture into verse 10, let's first remember, and again, this all comes from Romans as well, too, so we've read this all in this precious study we've had. We're justified, amen, as Christians, just as if we never sinned. And praise God, never can be separated from the love of God. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So we know, as it says in Romans 8:33, there is nothing that can be put to the charge of God's elect. Now, why is that? Well, as we read on Sunday, 1 John 3:9, a Christian cannot commit sin. He cannot sin. Now, if you don't know the Word of God, brothers and sisters, you are going to really wrestle with that. And if you don't believe the Word of God, you'll never receive it. You have to know it first, and then you have to believe it. That's right. So, that is the Word of God. So here, we know then that no Christian, And if you go into the Revelation 20, you'll read, because what happens here is people will take the judgment seat of Christ and try to make it the same thing as the great white throne of judgment. And they're two separate things. The great white throne of judgment that we know that is in Revelation 20, everything that stands before that is dead. Whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Amen. And we know that that is for judgment of works and the works and the works and the works. See, you're going to be judged by one thing and are being judged right now. This is the judgment seat of Christ, by grace and grace and grace and grace. How much grace did you receive? And there, I tell you, the Godhead's just rooting for you. Receive it all. It's all there for you. Because they want to give you that full reward. Praise the Lord. See, the word of God even says in Isaiah, it says, see, his reward is with him. His reward is with him. He's bringing a reward for me. He's not bringing judgment for me. See, brothers and sisters, right now, every child of God, every child of God is before the judgment seat of Christ. And we are not being judged for sin, because whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, neither can he sin. So there's no sin to judge there. Amen. So what is God judging us then for? That's the judgment seat of Christ. Hallelujah. And that is the judgment of reward. And we are in that time right now. And what are we, again, being judged for in this judgment seat of Christ? Well, did we grow up into him in all things? Huh? Did that little Lord of all, now we'll go back to Galatians 4:1, as it calls you the little Lord of all, did he grow up? Huh? Did he take all the grace for all the truth and love to become filled with all the fullness of God? Did he grow up so much here that, praise the Lord, he occupied as a readied wife? That yes, in a sense, yes, we are, not just in a sense, we are seated in the heavens in Christ. But how many people really take that place right now? As far as living, are you ruling and reigning with him now? You see? That's that precious encouragement we have from the Lord. This is reward time for us. That's why this time is so vital. Because there's going to be a time, as it says, when time shall be no more. People always say, oh, yeah, there's just not going to be no more time. No, it talks about the eternities to come. I don't know what you're going to call that in a sense, but eternities to come is a considerable amount of time. So what is that time shall be no more? Well, we know. That'll be the time for the bride. It'll be past. The time to get ready for that precious high calling of God in Christ Jesus, it will be over. Now, this is reward time. How much truth and love will we receive? How much will we believe? How much will we allow to be exercised by faith in our lives? Did we not only read the sweet scriptures, did we feed on them? Huh? Was it our feasting? Continually? And when you continually feast, it'll get down in the stomach. And then it'll get bitter. And then, praise God, did you take the grace to endure? Or did it get a little bit too hot? Did it get a bit too rough? Did that other side of the fence look a little bit easier? Huh? What kind of deals did you cut for your family? Come on now. Well, it was just easier for us to get along. Well, sure it's going to be. We're fighting the good fight of faith. When you walk away from the whole counsel of God, you stopped fighting for the full gospel. People don't like to hear that, but it's a fact. It's the truth. God will lead you one way: to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. He will never lead you away from the whole counsel of God. So do not try to tell the Lord, you're not telling me, that, Lord, you took me away from the whole counsel of God. Because he's not in that at all. So, I love you enough to tell you that. I thank God that I'm encouraged enough to encourage my life in that. And every day, it's not just a crossroad. It's you talk about it, it's a transition. I mean, everything's right there. Those decisions come moment by moment. And will we yield to God? And the Lord help us to be encouraged in this, brothers and sisters, that it's the truth and love proposal. That's what it is. Did we allow this by the Spirit to become our passion? Are we fully purposed in this? Or was it just something that, you know, we learned by memory or by rote? Huh? Amen. See, there's a crown of righteousness that's in the balance. Paul speaks of it in 2 Timothy. And so sweetly, I thank God. He said, you know what, this one's not for me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And when you love his appearing, when you really love somebody, I mean really, really love somebody, it's not hit and miss. You don't dance around with it. I mean, this is marriage time. You know, you're supposed to be, you know, you get married at 5. You know, people usually show up about 3. You don't say, well, I think I'll roll in there at about 8. Huh? Well, they ain't going to wait around. They come and go, you know. And you think about those wise virgins. You know, they had the lamps, just like the foolish ones had the lamps. But there was something different about them. Is that full of oil. Full of oil. There is a full of the Holy Ghost. You know one thing about that full of the Holy Ghost? I'll tell you what. That means that life would be receiving all the things of Christ and allowing the Holy Ghost to make them mine. Huh? You see how we can't get away from that? Thank the Lord that we can't, because his word is true. Now let's go on to verse 11. This tells us, brothers and sisters, that all will kneel. And all, that means even every sinner, will acknowledge and know that he is God. But that's kind of a sad thing to think about, because right now we have the opportunity to confess him as Lord and Savior. Amen. So we thank the Lord for, again, his faithfulness to us. And verse 12, and we'll read that again. As it says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And see, brothers and sisters, we again, as Paul encouraged Timothy, we're giving that account to him now. And we are. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, Paul says, you want to give accountability to God in a sense? Or he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. See, everything's about that word, isn't it? Amen? It's never going to be about works. It's going to be about the word of God and about believing the word of God. And as we believe the word of God, it works effectually in us. And as the word of God works effectually in us, it will manifest in wonderful, beautiful fruit. Good works be all over the place. But that's just, again, what is produced from the very beginning, the truth. Doesn't come the other way around. Everything comes from truth in love. Everything comes, praise the Lord, by Spirit in truth. We thank God that we know that his love is what causes us to believe. Faith worketh by love. And then let's go ahead and close it up here with 13 one more time. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, do you see how important this is? As we've said, as you run with the Lord and as you yield to God, believe it or not, your life will be used to cut other lives. It will. But that's in love. Amen. This is something different. When you're stumbling a brother, that's not diamond cutting diamond time. That's just downright defiant time. Then what we're talking about here is there's a pride. There is a self-righteousness. And that is not, brothers and sisters, something, again, that is going to work in a sense. If I stay in that, that's not going to work for more glory in my life. That's just going to be something of pride. And we know where God sees the proud, he sees them afar off. And if I want to grow in grace, God gives grace to the humble. Now, I believe that 13 may even be the high water mark of this chapter that we're reading tonight. As Sister Bodie says so accurately, she says, I am not responsible for your walk. I'm not responsible for your walk. And you're not responsible for my walk. But here it is, brothers and sisters, that God really help us if we don't divinely love one another. See, this is talking about divinely loving one another, praying fervently for each other to win God's best. I don't believe we have perfect love. See, that's not just for a pastor to do. That's for the precious body, and especially, praise God, that rib portion, that's what she is doing. That's who she is. She's concerned, praise God, with this precious body, in a sense that we win God's best. And it's in that love for the body, hallelujah, that love of God in us, that we will not want to stumble one another. Amen? That we will not want to stumble one another, but rather prefer or think of my brother even before myself. Amen. And I won't be trying to go force a liberty on him or holding something over your head because I abstain from something and you don't. Because in either case there, that is not love. That's not love. It's follow Christ. It's the Word of God that does it. It's like him. See, if we are really readied wife vessels, and think of that. See, the wife hath made herself ready. Amen. And she is a precious vessel. Matter of fact, she is a vessel set apart only for the master's use. Well, as we've rejoiced in, the definition of the word vessel is a wife adding to the usefulness of the husband. I love that. That is one of the paramount definitions of the word vessel in the Greek. A wife that adds to the usefulness of the husband. So in other words, this wife, she will pull together with him. She'll pull together with him. See, good marriages pull together. A house divided against itself is going to fall. That's when people start pulling apart. But see, when we get into our own thoughts and ideas, we're always going to have our own thoughts and ideas. We need to have the mind of Christ, and then we're going to pull together. Amen. That's how that house, praise the Lord, will stand in the things of God. But we pull together with him. And there is nothing more the husband wants than good fruit. Amen. There's nothing more that God wants than good fruit. We know that. And he always encourages for more good fruit. Matter of fact, he prunes that. Amen. He cultivates all that for more fruit in every single child's life. So will the same be with his wife. And why? Because she is like him. She's like him. She cares. She really does. It isn't just, hey, I know this stuff. I rejoice in it. And then bam, I'm out of here and I hit the door. We love one another. Amen. I thank God that there's more tarrying here in the meeting and fellowship. Open yourself up to that. You need to receive it as well as the Lord to bring it through you. That's the love, brothers and sisters. And that's not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, the much the more as we see Jesus about ready to come. See, she loves the body just as she loves the head because it's all Christ. As Jesus said, how can you say you love me whom you have not seen? Huh? When you don't love your brother, whom sits in the same church as you? We should be quiet. Amen. It's fervent love. That's what's going to win him. It's not all the works that the enemy tries to throw. It's the working of the love of God. And that'll have all the works from glory to glory in it. All the works, praise God, of love that'll have you right in the midst of the throne ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's what it is. See, it's all Him. And that is the true, sincere, perfect, brotherly love of the Philadelphia fully purposed saint. Amen? That's who and what it is. The Philadelphia love. That's the Philadelphia saint. It is the brotherly love. It's the love that we've been reading about here in Romans. It doesn't pick and choose. There's no dissimulation. There's no hypocrisy in that love. It loves the same because that's the love of God. The Lord loves all of His sons the same. Amen. And I don't have a lot of sons, but I love my sons the same. I got two. And sometimes one will fellowship with me a little bit more than the other, you know, how teenagers are and here and there and everywhere. But it doesn't change the amount of love that I have for each one. And there'll never be a difference by the grace of God, and nor should there ever be, because that would be loving with the love of God. So we see this, and it's so, that's not just, it is of God, but it's not just God's, it's ours. If we're going to win Him, if we're going to win His Son, that's the love, praise the Lord, that we really need to pray for. Because that cannot be forced. You just love. And I know as you've gone on with the Lord, you have witnessed Him break through in your life with that love. Amen. Forgive others, forgive yourself. The guilt's gone, praise the Lord. And I thank the Lord. The thing I think that is the greatest testimony of it, you can't remember. You can't remember the wrong. And you don't even go thinking about it. I mean, I bet you probably could dial it up, but why? God's delivered you from that stinking thing. It's dead. Don't drag it around. Don't go picking it up again. You sure can find it if you want to. You know it. But when he's taken it away, and He does, He takes it away. Praise the Lord. You start to feel twinges of anything. Oh, my goodness. Be quick to a broken heart and a contrite spirit. We get hard in things and critical in things. And a lot of times, I'm telling you, and I know how the enemy works in my life, and I don't think I'm alone. Man, you were done pretty harsh. Huh? And don't ever think that you're over that, because you know what? God will allow it to get there again. We are in the final stretch. I mean, it is so right there. And he there's nothing more He wants than finish us, filled with all the fullness of God. And God is one thing. He is love. So, it's wonderful, isn't it? And it's just so simple. But I'll tell you, His love is so beyond man. Because you know man don't got it. Not even close. So, let's trust Him. Not be defeated in it, but encouraged tonight. Amen. And as we see these things that He's tried our hearts in and with other saints, prideful attitudes, don't be hard tonight to that. Don't. Don't say, well, that guy ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm not telling you to do anything. But I pray you'll listen to the Word of God. Because I know if you don't, and I know if I don't, I'm not ready. Because only the one that has the ear that hears what the Spirit says is going to win his best. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.